from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And now, a Rob Brown Lowdown, only on the Fan Upstate.
What do you wish to see out of the Carolina Panthers this evening? I will tell you what you will not see as they enter as a 6.5-point underdog and plus 425, I think, on the money line to win outright if you're into that sort of thing. Though I will say even Rob Brown, host of Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to four on the BetQL Network, does not gamble on preseason games because that's raw degeneracy. And anyway, make sure you tune into my sports gambling show every Saturday from noon to four.
I'm glad you know where to draw the line. I mean, I hopefully Rashad is on today because I want to know why we should watch tonight. I mean, the reason why I watched last week was to watch how the kickoffs were handled, which, by the way, I kind of like.
Sean McVay said they're, quote, weird, end quote.
They are weird. They're very weird. And everyone, at least the announced teams, everyone has to figure it out. But I thought it added something to the game. I was very skeptical, but went into last Thursday's game watching. I was like, yeah, I kind of dig this. We'll see what happens tonight and how Carolina and New England. Yeah, that's it.
How that's the ones.
It, how they handle it.
I am... I want to talk about the kickoff.
Yeah, because what are we watching the Panthers for? Because we're not going to see the quarterback.
And so,
I mean, you know.
Let's start with this. And I'm glad you brought this up because this is a conversation I've had with a lot of people a lot of times. If you're watching the NFL preseason and you are watching the NFL preseason to root for your team to win, you're watching it wrong. That's not what the preseason is for. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't do anything for you. All right. It's not a thing that you should be watching to brag about a dub or shamed about the L. The NFL preseason is for one thing and one thing alone. The NFL preseason is to just see your team, just see the status of your team. Now, does that do anything as a fan? No, because it's not like we're going to call, I mean, I can, y'all can't call up Dave Canales and be like, hey, yo, I think you need to move the third string guard on the left side up to second string guard on the right side. That's not a thing. But if you're like me and you like to know your roster, know your depth chart, if you like to see if you can pick up tendencies of different players, etc., if you like to sit on your couch and pretend that you're a coach, that's what the preseason is for.
See, to me, the preseason is a job fair. So, I mean, we're getting to watch a job fair.
And that's fair.
And we are seeing people put in their resumes and answering questions on the field about why they should get this job.
And that's, again, that's fair. That's, I think, probably a more creative way to say what I was saying. I am looking at a couple of things. I will tell you, third and fourth quarter of these games, if you are one of those cats that goes, college football is better because there's more passion, there's more pride in the work, then NFL preseason is absolutely for you. Because the dudes that are going to be playing in the back end of these contests are playing for their lives. They are playing for their jobs. Guys playing in the third and fourth quarter of this evening are playing to make the team and get a paycheck. So it's kind of enormous for them. So I will tune in for that. But for me, what am I looking for? Let's start with this. We want to say Dave Canales is a quarterback whisperer, right? That's why he got the job. His work with Geno in Seattle, his work with Baker in Tampa. That's why he got this job. Do we see Jack Plummer do anything tonight that makes you go, that guy looks like he's playing above his level? Jack, no Bryce Young. He's not going to get any playing time tonight. I'm going to go ahead and say he's not going to get any playing time next Saturday either. I don't think Bryce Young, in fact, I'll go one step further. I don't think Bryce Young's playing in the preseason. I don't agree with Dave Canales on that. I understand it. I don't like it. Why would you not play him in the preseason? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, because your starting offense may not be all the way gelled yet. I want that entire offense gelled before I throw my quarterback to the metaphorical wolves. I want to make sure that my offensive line, left to right, tackle to tackle, I want to make sure they are 1,000% on the same page before I want to stick 5'8" Bryce Young behind them. Because if I stick him out there and they are not chemically, organically lockstep with each other, the chances that Bryce Young makes it to regular season week one go down dramatically. So I want to make sure those guys are lockstep. Number two, I don't know what my running game looks like yet. And Lonzo and I have agreed on very little about the Panthers this year. But one of the things we have agreed on is that this team has got to go back to having that run-first mentality. They've got to go back to utilizing the run to both set up and, frankly, protect the passing game. I would like to see my run game develop its timing, its rhythm. I'd like to make sure that it is efficient before I put Bryce Young out there. With all due respect to Jack Plummer, you're the sacrificial lamb here. This team is not carrying three quarterbacks on the roster. You are QB3. This is your opportunity if you are Jack Plummer. This is your opportunity to earn the practice squad role for the Panthers or another team, or your opportunity to maybe compete for a backup spot elsewhere in the league, or to be at the top of the Rolodex. Do people still use Rolodexes?
Just one right over there, but it's not mine.
Yeah, but when's the last time that Rolodex got utilized?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Diesel.
We should look through it after the show. Let's see if there's anything in there.
It's not mine, so I don't do that.
I'm going through it after the show.
Okay.
I've been here 4 years. I've never seen anybody use it.
But again, it's from the other show. So I
understand. You know, even when the other show was here, I've never seen anybody use it. And we used to do a show that butted up with each other.
I mean, it's Diesel's. And so I don't mess with other people's stuff.
I'm saying in the 4 years I've been here, I've never seen it touched. Anyway, Jack Plummer has the opportunity to put himself onto the Rolodex.
So there's no chance that Jack Plummer comes along and wows everyone to the point where he takes Andy Dalton's job.
I mean, Andy Dalton as a backup has been remarkably consistent over the years. Hell, one of the two wins the Panthers got last year was under Andy Dalton, right? So no, I mean, it's Andy Dalton's job unless this quad is going to become a long-term problem for him. But what I am looking to see is, does Jack Plummer, a guy that I think that at the best is competing to be QB1 on the Panthers practice roster, does he come out and make us go, damn, a little something special there? Because if the answer is yes, I might be willing to attribute that to Dave Canales. And if I'm willing to say Jack Plummer looks like the Panthers' best option as practice squad QB1, and he does well, then I go, maybe we do have a QB whisperer at the HC position. Maybe this is the right guy. And I think there'll be some level of confidence in the team that has grown off of that. So I'm looking for that. The offensive line. We're still waiting on what a game day depth chart is going to look like. Do we get all five starting? We talked about them already. If we get all five week one offensive linemen out there, including the two new guards, what do they look like? Is that chemistry good? Are they in rhythm with each other? Is their timing good? Is my pulling guard coming directly off the hip of the center, or is there a gap in there? These are the little things that I'm paying attention to in preseason football. If my center fires off the line, my guard is pulling left to right, and I need him in the hip pocket of the center. If that center fires and there's a foot of space between his ass and the shoulder blade of the guard pulling around him, that's disastrous. That's more than enough room. A defensive tackle in a 4-3 front is taught, if the lineman in front of you moves laterally, you know what you do? You dive into that spot. If you are playing the nose tackle and the center fires left and the guard pulls across your face, your job is to get your nose off the butt cheek of the center in front of the nose of the guard and to blow that up. So when a guard pulls, he's got to be bicep to butt cheek against the center firing off the line so that there is no wedge, so there's no gap for a defensive lineman to get an arm in there, blow that up, and now all of a sudden, the defensive end on the other side doesn't have an offensive guard kicking him out and opening up the hole for Chuba Hubbard or Miles Sanders or whoever is getting the nod at RB1 today. These are the little things. I will say it this way, at the risk of sounding some kind of way, at the risk of getting the ire of the great one drawn down upon thee. Preseason football is not for casuals. Preseason football is not for those of you that wake up on Sunday and go run your errands, go to church, go to the grocery store, whatever you do, and you get home and you turn on the TV at 12:59 for a 1 o'clock kick. This isn't for you. This is for those of us that have the TVs turned on 10 minutes before the Sunday pregame show starts. This is for those of you that wake up Sunday and you go to the Odyssey app and you go to the Fan Upstate and you turn that on and you're listening to the pregame shows. Preseason games are not for casuals. They are for people who get way too invested in their football teams. Like me. See you tonight. Follow me on social media. Maybe we'll do some live stuff during, after. We'll see. I got the room all set up. Maybe we'll go live for a few minutes and talk a little NFL Carolina Panther preseason football. No Bryce Young in this evening's contest between the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots. Talked a little bit about it in the last segment. It is to me, very simple reason why. That simple reason why is I need to take care of that guy as much as I can. The I don't want to say long term, but I don't want to not say long term. Future of the franchise is wrapped up in Bryce Young. Yesterday, I got into a conversation on the internet. Avoid that if at all possible. With a Carolina Panther fan who said one of the things that they feel the Carolina Panthers need to do is be prepared to move on from Bryce Young if this doesn't work out. If this season doesn't work out, they need to be prepared to cut bait. And I thought, all right, let's think about that. Let's break that down a little bit. If it doesn't work out this year, my question mark is, number one, what is the mark, right? We've done this with the Clemson Tigers. We've done this with...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The Gamecocks of South Carolina. I have asked the fans of both of those teams to label what they would describe as success so that at the end of this year, we can look back and we can say this team was or was not successful. And obviously that mark is subjective. I've got Clemson fans that have said second round of the playoffs. I've got Clemson fans that have said make the playoffs. I've got Clemson fans that have said win the ACC. I've got Clemson fans that have said make the ACC title. And I've gotten a host of Clemson fans that have given me some sort of numerical or statistical metric. I need to see this out of the offense or this out of the defense or this ranking or that, whatever. And I think that's all well and good. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with any of them. I am simply saying I think you should have to put down a mark so that at the end of the year we can say you were or were not successful based on your own metric. I did the same for Gamecock fans. What is a successful season? How are we defining it? Is it bowl eligibility? Is it 7 wins? Is it 8 wins? Is it a top 25 ranking at the end of the year? Is it converting this into a top 25, 2016, 15 recruiting class next year? What is the line of success? For the exact same reason. I want to, at the end of the season, be able to talk to a Gamecock fan and say, hey-o, you said going into this year that this was successful and they didn't meet the metric, what now? Or they cleared the metric, so where do we move it next year? I think it's fair to ask Carolina Panther fans to do the same thing. I think it is fair to ask Carolina Panther fans to define success this season for this team so that at the end of the year, we can look back and say this team was or was not successful based on you, based on your metric, your rubric for success.
I have a question for you, though, because you started off talking about moving on from Bryce Young. So if you have an equally as bad season as you did last year, and you have the number one pick again, and there's a quarterback out there, do you take them?
So that's exactly where I was going here. Because the conversation I was having online with a Panther fan where I asked him to define Bryce Young's success. What would you say is a successful season for Bryce Young this year? And they hit me with what the argument I've been making. I think a lot of that's going to have to do with defining or having a better grasp on the team that is around him. Again, I don't, and I know I'm one of seven people, I absolutely do not define last year as a failure for Bryce Young. I don't. Because you were asking Bryce Young to win the Daytona 500 with a 97 Civic. It can't be done. I don't care if you stick friggin' Jimmy Johnson in that rig. He cannot win that race. So I think first and foremost, I think we've got to see, is this assembled roster, which is unquestionably better on paper than it was last year. Is it better on the field than it was last year? And if the answer is yes, what do we define as a successful season for Bryce Young this year? And there's a couple of metrics. Number one, I would like to see Bryce Young more in command of the set offense. We played you the clip the other day where he was on Good Morning Football, with Kay Adams, America's sweetheart, Kay Adams. And I don't think that's how supposed to go.
Yeah, that's not. I mean.
Watching the high jump.
Is she laughing or crying? I can't tell.
I'm going to go yes.
She's laughing.
I'm going to go yes. Is that a DQ or do you get a do-over? Nope, that's a DQ. Bummer, dude. What a way to go out of the high jump. The Olympics captivate me. They do. So, the success for Bryce Young, number one, is going to be, and one of the things that makes doing this specifically for a player and not a team is that it is going to be not just subjective, but it is also going to be, I think, subjective to the eye test. What I look at and see as a guy who has mastered command of an offense may not have the same look as what another guy feels. If I can watch a quarterback and go, that's a guy that has got the rhythm and the flow and the knowledge of the offense, and somebody else looks and goes, yeah, but he's got a 59% completion percentage. That's well below NFL average. That's not good enough.
You know, and I believe that the majority of fans go and want to see their quarterback and their team do well, and they don't get into the analytics. They don't get into all that stuff. They just go, that was bad. That was a loss. I would like to see a win.
This is why, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I will eat the harsh words that inevitably come. I don't give a damn about that. I feel like that. I don't care. This is why NFL teams don't put out a poll on Twitter and go, fans, what do you think we should do? Who do you think we should sign? Yeah, I don't know if you know this. Nerds run the world. They run everything. Your favorite thing is run by a bunch of eggheads who look at metrics. But everything.
Don't do this. Don't burn out in the first hour, dude.
I don't burn out.
I think yesterday would prove otherwise.
This is why nobody that's ever run a football team, including your Chiefs or Hoodie's Patriots or anybody else, has ever asked the fans what they want. They don't care, and they shouldn't. What I care about is, are there numbers that show me that this guy is improving. I'll give you one that the overwhelming majority of y'all, if I don't say another word about this and bring this up in week seven, none of you will have an answer for me. Well, like four of you will have an answer for me. What's going to be the average release time of a pass for Bryce Young?
I don't care.
And I know you don't.
I think most people don't care. And I get that you get emotional about it and you yell and this is how
it
should be.
It's not emotional. It's that you dismiss it as if it doesn't matter.
Dude. Your reaction is emotional. If you're getting animated and your blood pressure is getting up, that's emotion. Maybe you don't know what emotion is.
If you came to me and you said, "Hey, how's my investment doing?" And I sit down and I say, "Well, over the year you have this return, and over the last decade you have this return, and it's got this and this and this," and you go, "I don't care about any of that. Is it good or is it bad?" I'm going to go, "Well, then you shouldn't worry. You should let somebody who knows what they're doing handle this, because you don't."
And I'm going to get a different broker because I want one who doesn't talk down to me and isn't overly emotional.
You know what I want? I want somebody who gives a damn about being right, whether it hurts my feelings or not. That's what I want when it comes to something I'm invested in, like my money or my football team. All right?
Stop it, Jacob.
This is why Bill Belichick was able to, week in, week out, every time he touched a mic, be a hole, and he's still widely respected. This is why Nick Saban was referred to as the Nicktator during his time at Alabama. Because he didn't
You're
give
the only
a,
one I ever heard say that. But I mean, that doesn't mean I'm...
As somebody who covered that team right. up close multiple years?
That's fine. I said, say that. You're the only one I ever heard say it. So,
Nick Saban was a... And nobody cared. Why? Because bleep your feelings, I get results. Right? So, you can say, I don't care what his average release time on the pass was. What I'm telling you is that metric tells me multiple things. It tells me how comfortable he is in making a decision and executing the decision.
All right,
it tells me
how efficient
the offense is.
I don't care about it because you're using it as an excuse for why he's bad. He was really good at release, and all I see is bad footwork, and I see a bunch of other stuff. I could care less about his release if he doesn't complete a pass and if they don't win games. People want to watch football, and all sports are entertainment. You want to be entertained. You know what's not entertaining? Losses.
Correct. You know what doesn't just happen? We're good now. That's not how it works.
I think it can happen.
Doesn't happen.
I do think
wins the last place in division to Super Bowl champion team you can think of. You can't. I don't think there's ever been one. I could be wrong, I don't think there's been one.
Over time, you can look at Tampa Bay.
Over time!
Yeah.
Yes! And how does that overtime process work? It's not just a matter of, hey guys, suck less!
They got better players. They got a better quarterback. They got better things. So still, comes down to the original question is, would you, with all your numbers and everything that you've done in the last 10 minutes, would you, if Bryce Young statistically has equally as bad of a year as he did last year, would you draft a quarterback number one if the team is able to do it next year?
Well, again, this has been a problem.
By the way, I would. I'm going to answer the question. I would. Because after two seasons, if you're still the same with that quarterback, even though you've got a bunch of different guys in there and all that kind of stuff, if there's a better quarterback out there, I'm getting that quarterback.
So, now to arrive at the destination I was driving at, you taking Carson Beck? Is that your guy? You taking Shedeur Sanders? Is that your guy? Quinn Ewers? Is that your guy? See, the next step is,
it's going to depend on how well they do this season.
You don't just... Bryce Young won the Heisman!
Yeah, but at Alabama, and using your defense, he was surrounded by all these great players.
Okay.
Because anytime I talk about Ohio State, that's what you do.
So if Carson Beck wins the Natty and the Heisman, you're going to go, no, because he was at Georgia surrounded by great players, and now we know that that doesn't work.
No, because I don't think like you. I'm going to look at it and go, this player is better than the one I have. I know I've invested money in this player, but it's a business. That guy's going to be better. I'm going to get that guy.
You have no idea if that's true. None.
And nor does anyone who drafts anybody.
And how do you figure it out? You look at metrics and performance. That's what I'm saying. What I'm looking for is the metrics and the performance of Bryce Young to tell me if at the end of this year, if Shedeur Sanders or Jalen Milroe or Connor Weigman are the guy. And what I said to this cat on the internet yesterday that triggered this whole conversation was this. I can't answer that question because when I look at the 2025 draft class, the number one ranked prospect right now is Carson Beck. I don't trust Carson Beck as an NFL quarterback yet. He to me is a guy that reminds me of JJ McCarthy. I keep hearing how much high ceiling capability he has. And I look and I go, yeah, but like, does he really put it on display? Does he ever need to?
You just said you don't trust him. How many Panthers fans trust that Bryce Young's the guy?
Doesn't matter. He's the guy now. Doesn't matter. He's the guy now.
So
right?
Trust only matters on your side.
No. The guy I'm talking about, and I've done the research, is not on the Carolina Panther roster. Bryce Young is. The guy we were talking about is not getting paid tens of millions of dollars by the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young is. So what I need to be able to do is take a look at the end of this season. I need to take a look at Bryce Young and be able to, with more than just my feelings, establish if he performed on an upward trajectory or not. And so how we determine that, I'd like to say we were going to get a look at tonight, but we're not. Instead, we find out if Jack Plummer is QB3 or not. Doesn't mean I'm not excited about the game.
The Rob Brown Show. Get Rob at thefanupstate.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.